Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
This is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to episode 48 of Tech to Go. I'd like to let all of you know we have a great lineup today. I have my regular co-host today. I have Randy Johnston of K2 Enterprises. So welcome today, Randy.
Thank you very much, and unfortunately, we're going to talk a little weathered. It's the windiest blizzard here in years, so I know many around the country have been affected this year, and I hope everybody's safe out there.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And Renee, I know you're a little under the weather. We have Renee Lassert, CEO of Bill.com, so welcome today, Renee.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us, and we won't talk about the weather in California today. How's
that? I suspect not. And we have two guys that are our special guests today that are joining us, two great guests. I first have Eric Askerson. Eric is the CEO of CPA to Biz and really on the forefront of everything that's happening in the cloud. So, Eric, welcome today.
Thanks for having me, Darren, and I'm calling in from snowy New York City.
Yeah, you guys have been hit just as hard as anybody, it seems like, this year.
That's for sure.
And then last but not least, for sure, Ed Jennings. Ed is the CEO of Copanion, one of the leaders in scanning and all things scanning and populating in the tax world and tax automation. So, Ed, welcome today.
Thanks, Darren. And I'll also in advance tell you, if you hear beeping in the background, it's the front end loader trying to remove the snow from our parking lot.
All of us have the same problem, but Renee, it sounds like. Well, to kick off today, guys, I just want to set a bit of a vision. I want to talk today about the cloud in general and how the cloud has already affected accounting firms and how we see that affecting accounting firms not only 1 year out but 5 years out. And with that, what I'm going to do is, Eric, I'm going to ask you to kind of kick it off because you've really been instrumental in helping pull together a lot of applications related to the cloud. So if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure, Darren. I mean, it's such an exciting time. It's, you know, firms are really transforming how they're providing their client services by leveraging the cloud, by leveraging technology. I've been on the road, actually, 8 of the past 9 weeks, meeting with firms of all sizes, and the momentum is rather significant. I mean, just last week, one of the leading firms in the nation, Clifton Gunderson, announced that, you know, they were going to be making Intacct, you know, a cornerstone for both their client accounting practice as well as their reseller practice. And, you know, they're in the forefront from a technology standpoint. And when we're out there with these firms, they look at how they've been, you know, running the client accounting practice. And in many ways, it hasn't changed for 20 years. And what's happened over the past couple of years is that small businesses now don't want to have their software, you know, resident in their office, and firms realize that to truly collaborate with their clients, they need to use the web. So it's a meeting of small business and the CPA firm in providing those professional services in a different way. And then you look at the tax and audit area, and there's continuing efficiencies there being leveraged through cloud computing.
Eric, not to cut you off, but for our listener's standpoint, would you just give a little bit of an overview of Intacct and what that is, and then how that has been affecting people like Clifton Gunderson?
Well, Intacct is a web-based financial application. We think you know, they offer a very robust platform that, with the CPA firm support, can be provided to a small business client, and it also can be leveraged by a public company. So it's a very scalable solution. And I know one thing that we're talking about on today's call is just, you know, how these cloud computing companies are working with one another. And one of the big pluses is this ability to leverage best of breed solutions and to have them integrate via web services. And Randy, I'm sure can add more about this as well as Renee and Ed. But by moving to the cloud and leveraging something like Intacct, then you can pick out best of breed player like Bill.com for the bill payment solution. You can integrate into a number of different tax solutions. So it provides a lot of flexibility to both the CPA firm and the small business client.
So, Ed, you've also been on the front lines of this as you've been developing Copanion over the last few years and also talking to a lot of firms out there. What are you seeing as it relates to the clouds and how that's impacting accounting firms today?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is our this upcoming season will be our fourth season. And one thing that's fairly noticeable when we're talking to various firms is how the questions have changed over the last two or three seasons or two or three years. When we first entered the market, and we explained our solution, which was people would scan locally, upload, through a web browser to our cloud-based solution, and then download the output. There would be all sorts of questions. Oh, the data leaves my premises. I'm not so comfortable with that. There are lots of questions around security and compliance, and that seemed to dominate a lot of the pre-sales conversations. Now, we still have some of those questions we'll still answer. We've got, quite a bit of material on it. I think the profession at large seems far more educated in that area, and the questions are much more around process. Explain your solution. How will it fit into the way I prepare 1040s? And you're very much in a different dialogue. And I think that that speaks a lot to just people's general understanding and of the cloud and I think increasing comfort with applications that reside in the cloud.
Well, I appreciate that, Ed. I'd like to maybe get Renee's take on this before we sort of banter this around. But Renee, you too are on the forefront as you've not only created PayCycle and did that really, really early on, but then you ventured into the same Bill.com. So tell me what you're seeing as you're talking to firms.
Well, I think the main thing that we're seeing is the awareness that things are different and that firms do need to look at this whole thing called the cloud and what's going on there. A couple of asides, one is that being in Silicon Valley, and I think just in general across the country, development for software doesn't happen anymore unless it's on the cloud. So the entire industry is going to be moving that direction, and people that don't have a strategy to get there are going to be left behind. And part of the reason for that is I look back at PayCycle. We had customers there telling us that when we helped them with their payroll problems and we helped firms, manage multiple clients and payroll needs, that we would save them, upwards of 50% of the time. Well, now at Bill.com, we've done the same thing. We've taken on the process that is bill management, the bills coming and going. And again, customers are telling us we save them 50 to 75% of the time. And I think that's probably true with Ed's products, Copanion. You go through all the cloud products, and the reason is because of the design actually leverages so many more attributes that help people be efficient and think about the process because the data is centralized. It's kind of simplistic to think about it that way. But with all the data in one place, that allows developers such as Bill.com or Intacct or Copanion or CPA2Biz, whoever's got the data and they're massaging it, they can create efficiencies for their customers that are using it. So I think that the efficiency gains across the entire platform will keep happening for firms. And I think the end result is something that we talk a lot about within all the CPA2Biz efforts that Eric's team is leading, which is moving firms into the financial CFO role versus the transaction-oriented role. So if you go back 10 years, all firms, they didn't want to do it, but they were forced to do all these transaction-oriented activities, and they couldn't really offer the sage advice that their experience brought them because they were so busy, doing a payroll or managing bills or, organizing tax documents. And I think as, the SaaS offerings, the cloud offerings, penetrate all aspects of the business, the firm, I think, Darren, you're a great example of this. You're able to think more outside the box about how to leverage your firm and help your clients, with their financial needs versus their financial requirements.
Sure.
Yeah, and Darren, Randy, I just add a couple. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just to jump in and add a couple of comments to what Renee said. You know, the client accounting area is really a new opportunity. I mean, the firms, what is old is new again, and it's the growth area. If you look at, and I actually, and this is a large firm, you know, was with the, you know, heard a presentation from the CEO of Deloitte, and he reviewed his business lines, and you know, their tax area is growing at like 1-2%. Their audit area is growing 4-6%, and their advisory services is growing over 20%. And that's reflective of what we're seeing with some of these more progressive firms. The more progressive firms are seeing that they can approach client accounting, this virtual CFO practice, in a completely different way via the cloud. And they are now saying that this is going to be the driver of top-line revenue growth as well as client loyalty for their firm. One thing that just came out today that I think is just important to mention to the listeners is this evolution of SAS 70. The AICPA just came out with some new guidance around the next generation of SAS 70. They're called the SOC reports. So that's an acronym everyone's going to start learning, SOC, the SOC reports. And this is a very important thing that Renee and Ed and the different leading companies are, you know, taking very seriously, making sure that they've got best-in-class, confidentiality, privacy, and security controls in place around their cloud computing platforms. And I think that's something that's important for firms to know, because this is a big decision for firms to make on what platform to put their clients on. And they need to make sure that their providers are using these best practices. So I think that's going to be a discussion that firms and clients are going to be having more. They're going to be talking more about, and you're going to see more and more companies, you know, saying that they're cloud computing providers, but there's going to be a big difference between the best-in-class ones and just people that are getting into the market because it's the hot market to be in.
I think that's a – sorry to interrupt, but just on the SOC stuff and the, you know, SAS 70, that's another reason why, you know, the controls that can be centralized and audited from a central place gives comfort that you can't do with desktop software. If you think about the software that firms are using today, all the controls that they have to be at that particular firm. And if you're using a cloud-based application, you know, we're being forced, and because we need the controls for our own employees, and we want to be able to tell our customers that we have them. But we have controls that you could never even think of implementing in a small firm because you wouldn't have the resources. So again, another example of the efficiencies that the cloud is going to bring and why people are going to be moving in that direction.
Randy, you know, the one thing I heard these guys saying, and, you know, they're all, you know, up to their eyeballs in this stuff. I think, Renee, you know, when you say something's on the forefront, you're in Silicon Valley, that's a little bit like being in Washington, D.C., right, and talking about politics. Is the rest of the country following along? And what I heard all three of you guys say, and Randy, I want to kind of bounce this off you, is that the conversation has shifted from, hey, you know, this is bleeding edge stuff, and firms saying, is it secure, and this is changing the way I'm doing things, to, you know, they're not asking that same question anymore. They're asking, how does this fit my process, and how can I make this work, and how does this make my firm better? It sounds like, Randy, we're starting to get over the hump of being afraid of using this technology. Are you seeing that with all the firms you're in?
Yes, as I was listening to all the experts here, I basically had concluded almost exactly the same words you just used there. And the conversation has clearly changed from fundamentals like I'm concerned about my data being offsite and security to how does this affect my workflow processes. And if you actually think about all three of the products that have been named in the conversation up to this point, Renee with your own Bill.com, or Ed with your Copanion, or the Intact product that Eric named, or another product in the CPA to Biz group, XCM, these all have components of workflow and collaboration, and it's pretty clear that the change in process is a huge next place that technology can help firms. And so the discussions are much more around how can I change my process? How do we make this stuff work? Teach us the details of implementation is becoming much more of the question rather than does it make sense?
You know, Eric, you mentioned SOC, which sounds too much like socks to me, but
maybe it'll have the same type of impact. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm the question I get over and over is, you know, what kind of vendor is that? Well, the first thing that comes out of anybody's mouth is, well, they're SAS 70 or they're SAS 70 Type 2. Well, nobody really knows what that means, that is asking the question, if you know what I mean. And so I'm really encouraged to hear that there's going to be hopefully some stuff that, or I guess I'm asking this question, are we going to be having something that we can really turn to and say, this is really a solid vendor and I can trust in this?
Without a doubt. I think these SOC reports are going to be extremely important for the accounting profession and their clients, and then just the marketplace overall. I mean, SAS 70 was a great standard, but it truly wasn't addressing all the needs of what people were looking for around making sure that the right, you know, security controls were in place, the confidentiality, the availability, the processing integrity. The new SOC reports, and there's SOC 1, which is basically, you know, the direct replacement of, you know, SAS 70, SOC 2, and SOC 3, they actually add the trust principles. I know that's something that, you know, Randy, you're very, very familiar with. And this is going to broaden the scope of this engagement. So for firms that are in the, you know, SAS 70 consulting business that will now be in the SOC consulting business, their engagements are going to be broadened. And that's going to be a positive for the companies that they're doing these engagements for, because they're, as Renee was just saying, they're going to learn more about their operations. They're going to make sure that they've got the best, you know, best-in-class standards around privacy and confidentiality and availability. And then the users are going to be able to be even more confident of the applications that go through this process. And the SOC 3 report is actually a report that will have some general use availability. So that will, there'll be more education for people that are looking to, you know, get their hands on this information as they select who the right providers are. But one thing, when we're just talking here about the CPA profession, the accounting profession, is that decision is the firms are really helping guide, and then they will be able to leverage this information and these standards. So I think this is a very, very significant rollout. And I think the Wall Street Journal and New York Times and others are going to start picking it up as this gains steam over the coming months.
Hey Randy, Darren, go ahead.
You know, one thing I would throw out there is there does seem to be a little bit, when they talk about sort of SaaS and hosted applications, a little bit about two camps. And everything we've been talking about from, you know, Companion, Intacct, et cetera, are native web applications. And as Renee said, they were designed for that environment. And there are certain things that they can do uniquely because they're in that environment. And it seems to be even other things like portals, explosive growth. People are moving to these. We're not oftentimes displacing a more traditional process. It's an enabled process. I'm very curious. I don't know if there's the same amount of rapid growth when you're talking about moving an existing app, like a tax software package, or maybe even bookkeeping, from locally installed to a hosted SaaS model. It seems that the more rapid growth are when they're new applications for new categories that didn't exist in the past. I hear different responses from the firms we're talking to about the speed with which they're thinking of moving their tax software, you know, replacement to a SaaS world versus, you know, jumping on board with us because it's only in a SaaS world.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one thought that comes to mind there is, yeah, if you look at, I think I just saw much of Intuit's analyst report, and, you know, I think QuickBooks Desktop grew, you know, 7 or 10%, and that was because of you know, price increases. But online grew over 40% for the year. So
yeah, 44%, I believe, is what I saw.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of the SaaS is that the same efficiencies that you're able to bring to a process that's never been thought of before, because it is, you know, collaborative and all that. Also applies to some of those, you know, routine, boring processes, you know, such as the accounting software that somebody might be using. So, you know.
And if you think about the maintenance of a desktop SaaS application, when you think about a product like a Thompson's Go System or S-Tax, which basically is complete SaaS, or the new Intuit ProLine tax product, which is, interestingly enough, completely SaaS. Those are very elegant products to maintain because there is no in-house maintenance, unlike some of the tax installation issues that I've read about in this past week. However, changing from an existing app that's core to the practice, like tax, is a lot like changing religions or physicians. You know, you just don't go out and change a doctor easily or a religion easily. And so that move is much slower in most firms, but it's interesting to me that firms are willing to consider. So when you start looking at, like what Eric has talked about, this whole opportunity of the virtual CEO role and the ability to not do transaction-based processing, those are big gains for the firm. And they've taken away a lot of the pain that has kept them out of those before.
So, guys, I would like to pivot just a minute and ask each of you guys to look out 5 years. And if you're a practitioner today, and I guess I'll throw a couple of caveats with this. One, I guess I want to know, are we in a transition? I mean, I feel like we're in a transition period. I'd be interested to know how long you think this transition period is from maybe desktop to cloud, if you think we're moving to the cloud at all, which I think all of you believe that we are. But what would you be doing, thinking now to get your firm 5 years out where you think it needs to be? Is that a clear enough question?
Sure. You want me to go first there, Darren?
Yeah, Eric,
I think. Yeah, I think the firms clearly need to have a technology strategy. I think there's two, when I talk to firms, there's two things they need to have. What's their technology strategy and what's their learning strategy? Because there's a lot of retooling. They need to stay up in the standards, but they got to retool their workforce to leverage this technology. So they've got to put together a plan, and they're not going to do everything overnight. I think in 5 years, they have to say, in 5 years, we need to probably be leveraging as much as we can via the cloud. We have firms talking about the virtual firm, and we have firms that are expanding in other states and saying we're going to do it completely with the virtual firm, and that's going to give them a lot of economies of size and scalability advantages. And then also the staffing of their workforce. If they once they've gone to this, you know, put the client accounting, the tax, the audit, all of those platforms in the cloud, they can then start sourcing work from around the country. So that's where I see it going from 5 years from now, from a technology standpoint. And I think firms need to be thinking about their learning strategy in combination with that, because as Randy said, and Ed said, and Renee said, it's the how now. It's what we're seeing. The biggest issue is the change management. You know, how do I retool 40 people that were in a processing center doing the QuickBooks desktop, and how do I get those people trained on these new platforms? And it's not, you know, this isn't, you know, it's not rocket scientists, but but they were doing something in a way on this old platform, and now they got to move to a new platform, and you got to just got to retrain your workforce. So that's what the largest firms and smallest firms are grappling with, and I think that goes hand in hand with your technology strategy.
Renee, what's your take on that?
Well, a couple of things. Your first question was, you know, what's the transition timeline? And I guess just to give perspective, you know, I started PayCycle in 99. Salesforce, I think, started in 98. Google was 98. So when we talk 5 years from now, the cloud's going to be almost 20 years old. You know, it's going to be 17 years old. And I think if you think about, you know, the desktop software transformation, when things went from, you know, mini and mainframe computers to people moving on to, you know, to the software that people mostly use today for their office, something from Intuit, right? That was probably, you know, in the 20-year timeline, right? So I think, you know, is it going to happen in the next 5 years? If it's not five, it's definitely the next 10. And I think the sooner folks figure it out, the better it is for them. And one suggestion that I would have, which I've always, you know, done personally, is you got to eat your own dog food, you know. And if you're going to get out there, if you think you're going to need to be in the cloud in 5 years, put your own firm on the cloud first and do everything you can. And once you internalize that, it's a lot easier to talk about how do you manage the process for your customers, because then your clients, you'll be able to go to your client with, you know, a lot of conviction and stories to be able to help them understand the benefits they're going to get. And I can tell you the customers that are most successful at Bill.com, the accounting firms that have the most clients on it, they're some of our biggest users themselves. So I would say, you know, eat the dog food, figure it out, and that'll help you figure out how to move the ball forward.
Yeah, great advice.
You got to call it like cake or something, Renee. You can't call it dog food.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Ed, what's your take?
Well, you know, I think I agree with a lot of those comments, you know, so I'll kind of come at a little different angle. I mean, one thing that I see today is sort of a best-of-breed, pure-play SaaS company. You know, we integrate with some of the big suite providers. You know, it still feels at this moment like there are these worlds that exist around each of these big suite vendors, the Thompsons and CCHs and whatnot. And one thing that I would hope the future entails is that they stop seeing themselves as a closed world that build all their apps and more as open platforms that best-of-breed players like us can program and support. You know, and I think that good examples of what Salesforce.com has done with their AppExchange. You know, they've moved from being a CRM company to an entire platform by opening up APIs and having software developers kits. You're seeing that take place on the iPad. You're seeing that with Facebook Developer Network. You know, one thing that could be really exciting is if somebody like a CCH or a Thompson took a leadership role to say, I'm going to be a platform and I'm not going to have to build everything myself. I'm going to open this platform up for a range of small and large best-of-breed SaaS players to integrate with, I think that would make for a very exciting future, and less about, you know, closed worlds and more about, you know, open exchange of information.
Randy, you know most of the key players in the profession, especially the large ones. Is your take that that's anything that you would ever see on the horizon?
You know, I actually, as was listening to Ed say that, absolutely is the short answer, because one of the design principles behind the CCH Next Gen platform was to make it open and integratable. And that was an interesting strategy because the internal phraseology was something like, we want people to choose to use our product, and if they choose to use something else, shame on us for not writing a better product in that class. So this open integration, I think, will happen with some of the big publishers. I think there's indications at Thompson that way. There's clear indications at Intuit that way as well. And, you know, I believe that there'll be others that make integrations possible between SaaS and desktop or between all SaaS applications. I can see the vision on that. So if you were looking for a five-year window of where things might go, drinking your own champagne as opposed to maybe eating dog food. But, you know, having your own firm right now choose and use strategic applications, knowing that the integration will get better over time, and I believe you'll find people coming along in that with offerings, is probably one of the best things that you can do. So expect the future to be SaaS applications that are tightly tied together, possibly even tied to desktop applications that are legacy, but again, we expect even more of these things to either be hosted or true SaaS applications in the cloud to give you collaborative capability with your employees and clients regardless of where they're located.
That brings me to another question I had in my mind, Randy. You know, we've gone from, you know, in the client accounting world, you know, desktop QuickBooks, which I think is still where the lion's share of people still live, to they've been gravitating somewhat to a hosted model of that same app. Do you see that as transitionary, Randy? And if so, how long do you think it's transitionary?
Well, I do see it as transitionary, and the question really is how long. You know, you've heard Renee kind of banter somewhere between 5 and 10, and you can use that classical phrase is, we always think it's going to happen more quickly in the short term, but if we look at the long term, it's actually happened more rapidly than we might have perceived. So I'm actually just looking forward thinking it's about a five-year window. So if that five-year window is correct, we can maybe go plus or minus a couple of years on either side. For some, the innovators, I think it will happen within a three-year window. For the technology laggards, I think it will happen within that, you know, eight-year, maybe 10-year window outside. I do believe there will be people that continue to use old technology regardless. In fact, was listening to a fascinating piece on NPR this morning about no object that's ever been invented is out of use. And they went through many, many things trying to illustrate that that's true with everything that they can identify. Everything is still being made somewhere in the world, regardless of how old the technology is, which was a fascinating conclusion. Some will cling to the past to what they believe is their benefit, but probably to their detriment. The people who are really thinking about their processes, their business, and client service, I think will move forward to a next best thing, knowing that they will have to change. It might be painful, but in the long term, it's in their client's best interest and in their best interest.
Eric, is there enough competition in the cloud right now? I mean, I think about, you know, web-based accounting apps right now, and I think of QuickBooks Online, I think of Intact, and I think of NetSuite. I'm probably missing some, but is there enough competition in that space?
Yes, I think there's a tremendous amount of innovation. I mean, I'm sure Renee can comment on, you know, how many companies are being funded every day in the Bay Area with you know, cloud-based strategies. But I do think, I mean, one thing that we feel that we're helping is entrepreneurialism and progress in this new area. So that's, you know, one of the missions of CPA to Biz is to, you know, help bring these leading services to the marketplace. But with that said, and we're doing that with a group of best of breed providers that we think are adding tremendous value, I do think there is at this point enough competition. I think it's just going to be spiking. One book that, you know, I don't know if listeners have read, you know, any kind of summary analysis on what's going on out there, but The Big Switch by Nicholas Carr kind of talks about this transformation that's occurring. I think it's a good read.
The Big Switch by Nicholas Carr.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good recommendation. Well, guys, with the limited time we have left, I guess I'd like for maybe each of us to summarize, you know, where we see the marketplace right now and what firms should be doing in 2011. And let's assume they're not going to do much until busy season's over, but what should they be thinking about this year to start down this transitionary path? Ed, I'll just start with you.
Sure. I mean, one of the things that I talk about a lot with, you know, at the various conferences and to prospects and whatnot is one of the big benefits of the cloud is your ability to experiment with it. This is not traditional ERP implementation where you're spending all sorts of licensing fees and hiring people to make it work only to see if it works. You can really experiment and incrementally, you know, roll these different applications out. And so I'd say, like, wherever the area is, if it's document management, if it's workflow technology, if it's scan and populate, if it's, you know, areas around automating bookkeeping, try it. You're enabled now to try something with, you know, pretty much pay as you go and see how it impacts your process and see how it impacts your firm. And I think that's one of the great advantages of this as a platform for practitioners.
So if somebody's doing nothing, Ed, you just say pick something and try it.
Whatever the area is, whatever is important to their business, if they're trying to grow their client accounting services, for example, or if they're trying to pull costs out of their preparation process, whatever the area that's strategic to the firm, then there are tools available that they can sort of try leveraging these SaaS-based applications like the ones we've described today. And they don't have to bet the firm on it. They don't have to move the entire firm's process out over to that overnight. They can experiment. Yeah. They can try. And learn from it, and in that learning, they can find out how to really move it forward in a bigger way. Beyond that,
Renee, what would be your advice to a firm today?
I think I would have some of the similar advice. And, you know, one way I think about it is to take the plunge, you know, and really kind of decide that you're going to have to be there, you know, whether it's 5 years or 7 years. You have to be able to move your firm in that practice, because you don't want to be one of these firms 7 years from now that is having to charge an arm and a leg when everybody else is getting some of the efficiencies. So one way to do that, which I've had, you know, some firms do successfully that, you know, use Bill.com, is they take somebody in the firm and they say, it's your job to have a cloud strategy for us. Figure something out, but do something this year. So, you know, if you're a firm and you're busy managing all the engagements and stuff like that, take somebody young who just got out of school that's probably on Facebook half the time anyways, and tell them your responsibility is to get us on, you know, on the cloud with one particular product area in the next quarter and see how it goes.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. Eric, what would be your take?
I just will echo what Renee and Ed are saying. You got to begin the journey. Firms don't want to know about the what and why anymore. They want to know about the how. You've got to put someone in charge, and then put together, you know, set some objectives and make sure you're meeting them. Because if you don't start this journey now, you're going to get left behind. You're going to lose efficiencies, and you're not going to be able to provide the client value that that your clients will demand. So that's it. Just they just got to get going, and it's critically important to the firm's long-term success.
You know, guys, I don't know when it was that we started electronically filing income tax returns, but you know, it's been a long time ago. And finally, this year, the government said no more. Everybody's going to get a P10 number, PTIN, and you're going to electronically file. And I've heard statistics as much as a third of tax preparers are just now moving in that space, which just blows me away. So there's obviously going to be some laggards behind all of this. But, you know, for the good firms, we've been e-filing for a long time. Randy, you're advising firms every day as well. What would you tell them to do this year?
Well, this will sound very fundamental, but sometimes things are. You know, many of our practitioner listeners are just heading into tax season. And like you said, I think most of these actions will take place after season. But what I would have the managers of these different businesses and owners of these businesses think about is what's in the client's best interest? What do we want our practice to look like? And so many of our firms have been compliance-based practices in tax and or audit, that there are opportunities around and services that clients need and deserve. And the question is, do you want to take your firm in that direction? Do you want to provide that type of client service? And I think whether you choose to stay as 100% tax compliance service or whether you try to satisfy new needs, first think about what you want to be strategically 1, 3, 5 years from now. Based on where you're going, pick that one technology that you can implement this year, focus on it, and make that one happen. And to me, that might mean a whole new service area, or it might mean augmenting something that you have today. But think about the most important things for the clients and yourself, and that'll be the right action.
Yeah, Randy, I'm going to echo your sentiments, because I think if, you know, whether you're a small practitioner or a really large firm, if you would just sit back and draw a picture of what you want your firm to look like, you know, just something simple, and maybe you get some other stakeholders involved in that. But once you have this picture, you can sort of set a timeline to that, and then you can go out and find out what resources are available to help you start moving those directions, whether it's an Intact or a Copanion or a Bill.com or whatever it might be, so you can start taking that first step, like you say, Randy, and everybody has mentioned today. Well, guys, we're out of time. This was a phenomenal tech to go. I really appreciate you guys spending the time on probably terrible winter afternoons for most of you except for Renee. So, Eric, thanks so much.
Thanks, Darren. Great participating.
Renee, as always, appreciate it.
Of course. It was fun.
And Ed, thanks for being our guest today.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Darren.
And Randy, I'll leave you with closing thoughts today, since you're always the guy with great thoughts.
Well, I appreciate that. But for our listeners, don't say it doesn't work for me. Say what can work for me and go after it, and you'll be richly rewarded.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time today, guys, and best of tax seasons.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106. Or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.